Folks, if you're liking what you're getting from 30 MPC, the number one way you can support us is by subscribing to our newsletter. Every week, you only get two emails. On Monday, you get a content roll-up of everything that dropped last week. And on Fridays, I pick one topic and I personally write a deep dive on things like how to cold call, how to run a discovery call, or even how to hire an AE. So if you're liking what you're getting here, take 2 seconds, go to the show notes. You'll see a button to subscribe to our newsletter, or you can go to 30mpc.com/newsletter and do it there. We'll catch you soon. Cheers.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to another episode of 30 Minutes to President's Club. I'm your host, Nick Sigelski, joined with my wonderful co-host, Jen Allen Knuth. And today, we have Chip Wooten, who is a senior mid-market account executive at Motive. Jen, why should people listen?
Chip showed us how it was done in this episode. We talk about how to get past gatekeepers, how to engage with gatekeepers. We talk about how to make that conversation so easy and effortless in the first meeting. I learned so much from listening to Chip. Y'all are really going to love this one.
Yeah, I think this is really great because Chip is selling to trucking companies and logistics companies, which sometimes can be like hard-nosed. And he does a really good job initiating conversations cold. This is a can't-miss episode. A 3, a 2, a 1. Don't miss this one. Today's tip to optimize your sales day is brought to you by Boomerang. If you get an email and the action required on that email is going to take you less than 2 minutes to do it on the spot. It's not worth adding it to your to-do list, having to look at the item, remember what you need to do. That's going to take you more than 2 minutes anyway. So do it on the spot, get it off your plate. Now, we documented our best templates and tips to help you optimize your sales day with our friends at Boomerang, and you can get that documentation for free at the link in the show notes. Today's tip to optimize your sales day is brought to you by Boomerang. Obsessive checking of your inbox is a total waste of time and brain power. Instead, commit to checking your inbox and responding to email at set times throughout the day. I'm a fan of Boomerang's pause inbox function to keep myself from getting distracted by my inbox. Now, we documented our best templates and tools to help you optimize your sales day with our friends at Boomerang, and you can get that for free at the link in the show notes. Today's prospecting tip is brought to you by Super Cadence by Influ 2, which helps cut through the noise of oversaturated prospecting channels. If you want to get your prospect's attention, you got to do stuff a robot would never do. One of my favorite plays is getting warm introductions to the accounts that I'm targeting via salespeople who work at that account. Salespeople help salespeople. Another approach could be using Super Cadence to run SDR ads to put a face to the name. Now, we worked with Influ 2 to put together a special toolkit on ways to humanize your outreach, which you can get for free at the link in the show notes.
Here's my secret to being a sales superhuman. It's auto reminders for everything. If I expect any reply from a prospect, I press Command H and Superhuman pops it right back into my inbox if I don't get a reply in 2 days. That means if you handle an objection, if you suggest times for a meeting, or if you ask for cuts back on red lines, always create a 2-day reminder task and assume they will not reply. So if you want to follow up on time every time, you can get a free month of Superhuman by checking it out in the show notes.
All right, Chip, welcome to the show. We start every single episode with your top 3 actionable takeaways. So let's get your 3.
All right. Thank you so much for having me. My first one is beat your ADHD. Most every salesperson is going to have just a touch of ADHD. So you want to make sure that you do these 3 things to conquer that. Put everything on your calendar and set reminders for it. Treat every event like a client or a prospect meeting and defend it as such. So if you are prospecting during a certain time, and somebody throws a, hey, let's do a team meeting during this time, tell them, I'm sorry, I can't attend. That's my prospecting time. And you defend it as if you're meeting with a client or a prospect. Number 2, when you encounter a gatekeeper, you got to break the ice. Don't neglect the gatekeeper. If I'm talking to you, Nick, hey, Nick, it's Chip. Is Jen in by chance? I was reaching out because I was told she's the person to talk to about this, but maybe you can help me. Is that the person who handles it? Is it her? Is it someone else? Then if they block you still, make sure you break the ice. Mine is, hey, can you let her know that Chip called? And sometimes people don't understand my name. And sometimes they think I even say a bad word sometimes. So I'm like, no, it's Chip, C-H-I-P, like a potato chip or a chocolate chip. Just depends on if you're feeling sweet or salty today. And that seems to break them every time. Third would be write closed-ended emails. So this kind of sounds counterintuitive to what you hear as a salesperson, which is, oh, you should always ask open-ended questions. But what you should do is send a closed-ended email that sounds just like this. Hey, Nick, I was pointed your direction by Jen as the best person to talk to about blank. Is that something you would handle, or is there someone that would be better to talk to about that? That gives them the opportunity to respond with one word or maybe one sentence. No, it's not me. Yes, it is me. Or no, it's not me, and you actually need to talk to Brad.
Boom. Beautiful. All right, Chip, on the pre-show, we were talking a little bit about navigating and working with gatekeepers. You have a unique perspective and a really interesting approach to how you handle getting through or working with a gatekeeper. Let's actually go back to the start of that phone call. I'm never going to be an executive, but Jen is. And so let's pretend that Jen is the CFO of this large company you are trying to talk to. And you call the phone and you think it's Jen's number. And then I answer, lucky you. And I'm Jen's gatekeeper. And I say something like, Acme Trucking, how can I help you? What do you say from there?
Hey, you don't sound like Jen. I was really expecting a Jen to pick up. But who am I speaking with?
Oh, this is Nick Sigelski. I handle all of our phone routing here.
Okay, I got you, Nick. So you're saying you run the place around there. Yeah, it sounds like you're probably not the person who I need to talk to. I really need to speak with Jen. Is she available by chance?
I think she's in a meeting right now. Can I take a message?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm happy to leave a message with you, but what I'm just trying to understand is I handle GPS, fleet tracking, dash cam, safety systems, fuel card spend. Is that something that Jen even handles, or can you point me in the right direction? If you're the phone router, everything in there, can you get me pointed in the right direction?
That's under Jen's purview, but I'll be honest, she's pretty busy and we're not taking calls from her external vendors right now.
Oh yeah, no, I totally understand. You know what? I got her email here. I'll pop her an email as well. But like I said, I know you run things over there. And so if you get a chance, would you let her know that I called? Again, my name is Chip, like a potato chip or a chocolate chip. Depends on if you're feeling sweet or salty today. And this is my number.
I love it. So talk to me about your strategy of how you navigate that, Chip. What's going on there?
Yeah, so a big thing that I'm navigating there is I'm trying to figure out if the person my CRM told me to call is actually the right person to call, if they still even work there. A lot of times those people may have left, they've gone on another opportunity, maybe they got promoted even internally. And so I'm, one, trying to qualify who the person is I need to talk to. I don't actually have to talk to that person to qualify if it's them. Now, to fully qualify it, yeah, it helps, but you can at least get some confirmation from the person who's handling the phone. They usually have a pretty good perspective of what's going on there. The other thing, too, is usually the person at the phone is at the front desk. They see everyone come and go. Everyone knows who they are. They say hello to that person every day, and they know what the inner workings are. And if you can win over that gatekeeper just by treating them like a person instead of just somebody that you have to get through, it can go a long way later in the deal cycle, especially when you start calling three or four times over a number of weeks and you're asking for the same person each time. I'm able to go back and say, hey, Nick, it's Chip again. Yeah, how you been? Hey, good to see that the Trojans won last week. Congrats on that. I know you're a big USC guy. And then I'm able to take that and then move to the next step. And then they're like, oh, he's just not another sales guy. He actually remembers me. He actually cares about me. And then when I call him next time, I don't even have to explain who I am. They're like, you need to go to Jen, right? That's exactly right.
Can you tell me about the relationship that you're developing with the gatekeeper? Because the previous paradigm that I've operated under is this is someone who I'm basically just treating like a glorified phone tree to try to get through and get connected to the CXO. And I have zero interest in connecting with, developing a relationship, looking them up, etc. But you're taking a different approach. And so when you actually have conversation with the gatekeeper, it's going to sound silly, but like, what do you talk about?
Oh, yeah. Usually if their job is to be the gatekeeper, they're answering phones all day. They're building relationships with vendors. The vendor may call them and say, is this person in? But really the thing that I've noticed is that the gatekeeper often ends up being at least a key stakeholder in the deal, and that they hold the keys to the door, or they hold the keys to the phone line to the person that you want to talk to. So I treat them as if they are a stakeholder in my deal. So when I call into an office and I know that Linda answers the phone when I'm calling in there, I want to learn about Linda. I want to learn about what matters to Linda. I want to learn about what she does and doesn't like in her job and in life, the same way that I would try and find that out about anybody else that's a key stakeholder in my deal. So when I get to that gatekeeper, I'm really trying to build a relationship with them as if they're any other key stakeholder in the deal. And I know that's a little bit unique. Like you said, a lot of times we're just trying to, how quickly can I get past that person? The fact of the matter is, it's usually not a one-time call, close, sale that what we're doing. So you're going to have to be calling in multiple times in the future. You may have to even call in and say, hey, I've been trying to get a hold of Jen for 2 weeks. Nick, do you have any idea what might be going on there? And if I've built a good relationship with them, they'll say, oh, she's been out sick, or she's been on vacation, or she's had kids with whatever going on right now. And so if you build that relationship with them, they're almost like an internal coach a little bit if you build a good relationship there. And if they remember who you are, sometimes you don't even have to tell them who you need to talk to. They'll just pass you right through.
Sitting there listening to you two do a mock cold call is always fun. I think what's really cool about what you did is you did two things. You made that person very subtly feel seen, heard, understood. Like, you labeled in a way, this is what I imagine it's like being responsible for all the calls coming in. And you did it in a way that wasn't forced flattery, which I think is an art for sure. The second thing you did is it was really impossible to listen to you talk and not have a smile on your face, like your potato chip, if you're salty or sweet. And I think what often gets intimidating is just we make it feel so high pressure that we suddenly become completely void of our personalities. So as someone who's not a super strong cold caller, before I ask my question, I just have to acknowledge how fun and light and engaging that was to listen to. What are like one or two other really common things I, as a sales rep, can expect a gatekeeper to say when I try to push through to get connected with the person on the phone?
One of the things that comes up a lot is, hey, we're really not interested in that. And when someone says, we're really not interested in that, I usually go to the mirroring technique of, oh, you're not interested? And then they have to further expound on what they meant by that. Oh, we've already got a system in place. Oh, we have this, or we just signed a contract. Depending on what their response is, if they say, oh, I know they've already made a decision on that, I'll say, oh yeah, hey, I totally understand. It sounds like you said they. Is that something that you're involved in the process? Are you involved in that decision-making process? And then qualify that they are not. And then I will come back and say something along the lines of, okay, so that's not you that handles that. Is that actually Jen that handles that? I know it sounds like it's not an opportunity right now, but if I were to reach out in the future, would Jen indeed be the person that I would need to reach out to? I'm trying to leave every single call with just any amount of information I can get. I think you should always, before you go into any cold call, have a goal of what your base desired outcome is. Like, in the worst case scenario, I want to get at least a little bit of information. 99.9% of the time, you're not going to get the sale on that first call. It happens every once in a while, but you should have a minimum acceptable for that call should be, I want to find out just a little bit more than I knew before I called.
That's so good. It's a philosophy you even put in the prep doc, which was like, I think you wrote, you either win or you learn, something like that. Like, you either book the meeting or you get information that's going to help you for the next call that you make or the next time that you call them back. So Chip, one of the things we were also talking about related to gatekeepers in the pre-show was you used to actually go in person to offices and deal with a real live human being gatekeeper. And I sold to law firms for a really long time. And I will never forget, I took a trip to San Francisco once for a couple demos. And while I was there, I thought, man, I've got 6 or 7 really hard to reach prospects. I'm going to show up at their office and see if I can get a meeting with the executive director. And I'll never forget the one law firm where I actually made it into the lobby because I tailgated some guy in a suit who was walking in who didn't realize I was right behind him. I get to the lobby and I've got my suit and tie on. I've got my book bag with me. I have a bunch of marketing collateral. And I walk in and I'm like, I have no idea what to do because I'm showing up unannounced. Do I just ask for the executive director? Talk to me about when you do these drop-ins. You show up in the lobby, what happens?
There's a local bakery here called Christie Cookie. And Christie Cookie, fun fact, they actually make the cookie for the Masters. So if you've ever been to the Masters golf tournament and you have the cookie there, or if you've ever stayed at a DoubleTree hotel, they make the cookie for the DoubleTree and for the Masters. Go into Christie Cookie. If you go directly to their factory, it's not even very expensive. It was like $1 a cookie or something like that. If I wanted to go see those 6 people like you're talking about, I would get 6 Christie Cookie bags with 12 cookies each in them. And then I would get 6 2-packs of cookies that I would take with me as well. So then I would go into the office. I would ask specifically to see the person who I wanted to see. And then when the gatekeeper called, they would say, hey, there's a Chip Wooten for you in the lobby. Well, he's got cookies for you. And then all of a sudden, you would see these people pop out that they're like, wait, why are you bringing me cookies? Like, I don't even know who you are. Then on the way out, I would say, hey, Jen, thanks so much for your time. Hey, these 2 cookies are for you. And then I would leave those 2 cookies there. Same thing if I didn't get through, would give the dozen cookies, say, can you just make sure that he gets these? Oh, and one more thing. These two are for you. Hide them in your desk. Don't let anybody else know you have them or they're going to come looking for them.
That is, again, like, you're just very good. I think one of the things people hate about salespeople is we have a tendency to minimize people to get to what we want. And I don't hear that in any of what you're describing. You're acknowledging, you're including, you're making someone feel important because they are important if they're holding the keys to the castle. So you went from selling Cutco knives, which I swear, knives and copy machines are like the blueprint of every great seller I've ever met. So you went from selling knives, then you go to selling insurance. Now you're at Motive. You just got promoted. When you think about those three different types of sales, and they feel very different to me as an outsider, what do you think is the biggest difference? And how did you prepare yourself for that change stepping into Motive?
So the biggest change that I saw really was I went from selling face to now I'm selling over the internet and remotely. What I thought was really tough about that was I didn't think I was still going to be able to build that bond, build that relationship that I could in person. So I had some honest fears behind that. Then what I quickly found out is that whether you're on a screen or whether you're in person, there's a couple things that you may not pick up on, some additional body language that I may miss out on. But what I realized is that I've become really good at reading people. It didn't have anything to do with the product I was selling. It had everything to do with me understanding people, how people operate, and just being empathetic to people. You don't know what somebody else is going through. It's hard to give a quick tip of, you just have to legitimately care about the person you're talking to. But I think that's a good life rule in general. It doesn't matter who you are, or where you've come from. We've all been loved and we've all had bad stuff happen to us too. And just remember that when you're sitting across the table from somebody, maybe nobody has made them feel good. I once sent a birthday card to a gatekeeper, and she said that was the only birthday card that she got on that day. It's getting choked up now talking about it. That was the only birthday card that she even got on her birthday. And it came from me, just some random sales guy who dropped cookies on her desk one day. But that stuff matters to people. And I believe if you can impact people in a positive way, you're always going to be successful anywhere you go.
Now you just have my whole heart.
Chip, how do you keep track of birthdays? Is it just CRM? Are you putting in your calendar?
I actually have in my calendar, like when I meet somebody, I would find out what their birthday was. And so I had it saved in my phone, and I still get notifications every day when it's somebody's birthday. Facebook made it really easy too, because I ended up getting, when I'd start to meet these gatekeepers, then they would add me on Facebook. And then I knew what their birthday was. So I would get a notification of this person's birthday is coming up and would send them a birthday card for their birthday or a birthday note, maybe through Facebook or something too, or even through LinkedIn.
At what point in the conversation will you ask their birthday? Because I feel like if I meet a new prospect, you do the cookie drop, you walk into the conference room, they're like, all right, Chip, what's up? And you're like, first, when is your birthday? Like, when are you asking that information?
It's funny because it's explained this. This is why it's like a hard tip to share. Like, when you present yourself in a way where you drop your guard down to people and you are not this buttoned up, I'm an insurance guy or I'm a Motive sales guy here to sell you this product. I'm just here to talk to you as a person. Mm-hmm. And when you drop your guard down to them, when you're vulnerable with them, people will be vulnerable with you. And so I say it naturally comes out, right? Like we start talking about, where are you from? Where'd you grow up? Oh yeah, I just recently celebrated a birthday, big 37. They're like, oh my gosh, I can't believe you're only 37 years old. You're not that old. When's your birthday? And then they'll tell me, but I'm not going to tell you the year. I'm like, oh, it's okay. You don't have to tell me the year. You just make it natural. If there's a piece of information that you want to find out, if you use like your own personal experience to basically build that story to then lead to the question, that's the most natural way to do it, I believe. And it doesn't feel like a, hey, what's your birthday? Because you can go through it's like a discovery call. I could go through a discovery call list and just go, how many vehicles do you have? Who's your current provider? What is this? Or I can have a 30-minute conversation, find out all of those details. And I have my notes here on the side, just the naturally where the conversation goes, oh, you just said that. It made me think about this. I don't even think I asked you. How many vehicles do you guys have? Okay, cool. Perfect. Yeah. Now back to baseball. Let's talk about that again. And so then we have these great long conversations. I built a relationship with them. Then when I call back, the first thing I call about is not, hey, let's talk about this contract. Like, hey, I saw the Yankees lost last night. I'm sorry, man. It's tough. But the pitching staff looks good. I think you guys are still going to make a run and definitely be better than last year.
So I've seen people do that sometimes really effectively. And sometimes it's like they eat up 25 minutes of the 30-minute conversation shooting the talk, and then it's, oh, now I'm trying to cram everything into five. You don't strike me as someone who's doing that. Even the example you just gave was like, you're weaving it in and out of the conversation. What are some cues you look for when you are face-to-face or on a call with a prospect to decide when do I need to pull back, lean forward on that stuff, shift gears? What are some tells you're looking for that help you with the pacing and the structure of your conversation?
It's probably a lot of body language more than anything when we break eye contact. It looks like they're maybe looking at their phone, or they've got maybe some notes or some papers they're shuffling. And then you go, okay, we need to wrap it up and naturally bring it back to what we were here to talk about. I think that selling is super psychological. I think it is very much like you have to understand not just what people think, but how they think. And this phrase that someone told me a long time ago, and it just has stuck with me. It's like, everybody's different, but people are all the same. And what I mean by that is every individual person has certain things in their life that they specifically care about. And those are the most important things to them. And if you can find out what some of those most important things are to them, they feel like you know them, right? But people, as in general, have those five basic human needs: need to be wanted, desired, loved, things like that. If you keep those things in mind in those conversations and in that process, even if somebody is like getting their door, they're shuffling papers and we need to wrap it up, I'm going to know at that point too, if we're going to have another conversation. And what I'll just do, hey, I really enjoyed the conversation. I'm glad to talk about this. I know we got caught a little short, but we had some great conversation on whatever this topic was. Now, there were a couple things I didn't get. I just need to confirm this so that we can get the next steps right. And that's where I'll get that, either in a follow-up email or in the first 10 minutes of, let's say that was a discovery call. We had a great disco call. It lasted 30 minutes, 45 minutes, and they'd only given me 15 originally, but hey, I want to be cognizant of your time. I know you want to see a demo. Let's schedule our demo. I'll never leave a meeting without setting the next step. And then when we get into that demo, I'll use the first 10 minutes of the demo to recap and further deep dive into the things that I missed in the last call.
So much good stuff there, Chip. Your point about you don't need to get everything in one discovery meeting is really something that I learned recently from one of our guests, somebody named Charles Mulbauer. And one of the things I learned from Charles is if you leave a meeting and you're like, oh gosh, I didn't ask about this, or I forgot to ask about that, there's nothing wrong with just like calling the customer later that day or even that week and being like, hey, I really enjoyed meeting with you. I felt silly. I got out of the meeting and I realized I didn't ask you this. Like, you're allowed to do that. You don't have to get an exhaustive brain dump from the customer in just one meeting. If you run a good, effective meeting and you build a relationship, you will have more at-bats to get even more information. I want to ask you about how you run that first meeting. And I actually want to focus on one that starts cold. So you talked about this idea of you've got the 14 cookie drop. You show up with 14 cookies, 12 for the person you're trying to meet with, 2 that are set aside just for the gatekeeper, don't tell anybody else. And let's say you show up and that CFO or that fleet manager, that person says, hey, I've got 15 minutes, I've got 20 minutes, come into my office, let's meet. So you walk in, you show up in their office. How do you manage, run, navigate that interaction?
That interaction is the same way that I would run any sort of disco call interaction too. Is if I get them in the room, it's like, hey, I do appreciate your time. Thank you for doing this. Really what this call is about is for me to better understand what you do, what your needs are, what your wants are. And then at the end of this, we can decide if it even makes sense to take the next step. So I'll go ahead and let them know in the very beginning, I don't have any expectations that this is going to turn into a sale. My expectation is I need to learn about your business. Give me some advice. I may ask for some advice. It may not be a fit for us, but I'm calling on other companies like yours. What are some things that I would really need to understand about the way that you guys do business? So that's how I would manage that meeting is, hey, I'm really trying to understand more about what you guys do here, where you have any gaps. So I ask if there is one thing you could fix about your current system, what would that be? Or what's your favorite thing about insert competitor here? What do you think they do really well? And then you start to figure out that, and then you go, oh, that matters to you? Why does that matter to you? Help me understand what that does for your business by having that sort of insight.
And then one really tactical question. How often are you able to know in advance if they're using a competitor of yours? Is this information you're finding out on the call or before the call? And if so, how in both scenarios?
It's a combination. In our CRM, typically someone has reached out to them before in the past and they put that information in there. And then we even will run lists sometimes based on competitors if we know that, hey, we just won two or three deals against this competitor. And the reason that we won those two or three deals is because they were falling short on customer service. Their cameras maybe weren't catching all the events. And then it's like a blood in the water type situation. You still have to be very tactful with how you approach that. You can't go, oh, I've heard you've been having a lot of problems with this competitor of mine. I'm sure you're experiencing some of them too. I would go in that more with, hey, the reason I'm reaching out is because you spoke to somebody on our team in the past. In passing, you mentioned that you had this incumbent carrier. Is that still the case? I'm not even going to dive into it yet. Is that even still who you use? And I'll find that out then. Sometimes if it's a disco call, I may not find out till then, but we're usually trying to find that out as early as possible in the process. Because of the business that we're in and we sell contracts, most of our contracts are pretty ironclad out there. If they break a contract, they're normally going to have to buy out of that contract too. So they usually have to have some pretty big problems for it to be worth it.
This is something when I sold accounting software to law firms, we would do the same thing. If we heard that, you're right, if we smelled blood in the water and a competitor was really struggling, maybe they had a mass system outage or something, I'd run a report in our CRM. I'd find every law firm using that accounting system, and you better believe I was calling them. And you're right, you want to be tactful and not be like, hey, I'm calling you because I heard Jen's terrible. Come work with me. And
right.
It's so interesting. Yeah. We were just frustrated with them because of this. Oh, really? Interesting. Chip, we're running out of time, unfortunately, and we got to move to the final question. And so the final question is this. We've talked about a lot of really great things salespeople should be doing. Now we got to flip that on its head, and I got to ask you about a shouldn't. And so my last question for you is, what is one bad habit that you see a lot of salespeople exhibiting that you think they need to break because it hurts them more than it helps?
You shouldn't say yes to every calendar invite that you get. You should really prioritize the things that matter. And if it's one of those internal, air quote, mandatory meetings, get a really clear understanding of the reason is that it's mandatory. And usually if you ask your manager, hey, is it okay for me to be on a sales call instead of this? Usually they're going to be okay with that. But someone told me a long time ago too, your calendar will be filled every single day. It's just a matter of whether or not you're the one who fills it.
That is a quote to end the interview. Chip, thank you for joining us. Everybody stick around for a 60-second recap coming up soon. Today's deal acceleration cheat code is brought to you by Pipedrive, which is a CRM built by sellers for sellers. The best way to drive your pipeline forward is to every single day pull up a list of all of your open opportunities and look at each opportunity by stage and think, what can I do today that will increase my likelihood of winning this deal? That's how you keep your ops moving forward in between meetings that you have on the calendar. Now, we documented 5 cheat codes that can help you cut your sales cycle in half with Pipedrive. There's a link in the show notes to steal them.
Your ZoomInfo actionable insight tactic is called Jane's Moving Up. Why? Because that's the email subject line you'll use when you get a real-time notice that your prospect Jane just got promoted. From there, in the email, explain how ZoomInfo helps rising sales leaders win their first 90 days on the job by highlighting coaching opportunities or supporting a team-wide prospecting push. And you can try out this trigger-based email template for prospect promotion and 4 other scenarios inspired by ZoomInfo's go-to-market plays. Link in the show notes.
Otter AI's Autopilot for Sales gives you the freedom to sell on your discovery calls by taking notes for you. One of the best ways to deepen your discovery is to ask your prospect about the impetus behind their goals. So when a prospect tells me they want to advertise on more sales podcasts, I'll say, well, it's not every day that you wake up and decide you want to sponsor a podcast. What's causing you to even explore this in the first place? Now, we put together the ultimate discovery checklist with our friends at Otter AI, which you can get for free at the link in the show notes. Today's prospecting tip is brought to you by Woodpecker. When you're sending a sales email, you generally want to avoid putting punctuation in the subject line. If you've got an exclamation point, it makes it seem like you're shouting at them, look at this amazing offer, and a question mark just smells salesy, so avoid punctuation. Now, if you want to steal my full sales cadence from my friends at Woodpecker, there's a link in the show notes for you to go get it and try it for free. Your top 4 actionable takeaways from this episode with Chip Wooten. Number 1, find out the birthdays of the people that you're meeting with in deal cycle in a natural, normal way. Don't make it the first question that you ask them. And then put those on your calendar so that you can send a nice happy birthday note. When you do this over the course of your career, all of that goodwill is going to accrue, and I promise you it will come back to you. Number 2, if you smell blood in the water where a competitor is faltering, maybe they have a big outage, maybe there's a problem, maybe there's an industry change that causes them to be less competitive, run a list report in your CRM of all of the companies who are using that competitor and go prospect them. You don't want to be unprofessional in the way that you talk about the competitor, but if you smell blood in the water, it is your responsibility to go win that business for your company.
Number three, if you are cold calling in person, meaning you are dropping off or stopping by your prospect's offices, do not go empty-handed. Stop by your local bakery, grab a dozen cookies, and when the person calling up to your prospect tells you, hey, Jen is here, they're going to also mention, and she's got some cookies for you. Do like Chip said, save two cookies for the person making that phone call upstairs so that you leave a memorable impression on them as well. And number four, we've all probably been in those moments where we forget to ask a really important qualifying question we know we need to get before we get off the phone. Don't make it awkward. Don't make it weird. Do what Chip did and phrase it like this. Ah, I don't even think I remembered to ask you. And then just ask the question bluntly. I loved that tip. Now, Nick, what can listeners do to help us out here at 30 Minutes to President's Club?
Chip touched our hearts, Jen, when we found out that he sent a birthday card to a gatekeeper. And that gatekeeper told him that was the only birthday card that they received that entire year from Chip, who works in sales. So believe it or not, you can make a difference. And we want to pay that forward to Chip. He let us know that his birthday is coming up. It is September 4th. Got anything out of this episode? If you got some value from what Chip shared, send him a note on September 4th. Wish him a happy birthday. He's doing it for a lot of folks out there. And he really cares about the folks he's meeting with. I think that was one of the biggest things that shined through to me and Jen in this episode was like, he's been a multiple time President's Club winner because he actually cares about the people that he's meeting with. And it's easy to be like, oh yeah, whatever, have empathy. But if you see how Chip talks about the people that he is meeting with and talking with, you will see why he's a really honorable salesperson. A lot of respect for him. Wish him a happy birthday. We'll see you next week on the show. Today's tip to optimize your sales day is brought to you by Boomerang. Obsessive checking of your inbox is a total waste of time and brain power. Instead, commit to checking your inbox and responding to email at set times throughout the day. I'm a fan of Boomerang's pause inbox function to keep myself from getting distracted by my inbox. Now, we documented our best templates and tools to help you optimize your sales day with our friends at Boomerang, and you can get that for free at the link in the show notes. Today's prospecting tip is brought to you by Super Cadence by Influ 2, which helps cut through the noise of oversaturated prospecting channels. If you want to get your prospect's attention, you got to do stuff a robot would never do. One of my favorite plays is getting warm introductions to the accounts that I'm targeting via salespeople who work at that account. Salespeople help salespeople. Another approach could be using Super Cadence to run SDR ads to put a face to the name. Now, we worked with Influ 2 to put together a special toolkit on ways to humanize your outreach, which you can get for free at the link in the show notes.